वन्दे गुरुन् ईशभक्तान् ईशम् ईशवतारकान् तत्प्रकाशां शतत्शक्ति कृष्णचैतन्यसंज्ञकम् नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदन्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरोभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतिशे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमास्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रियाद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मदेकबन्धुमत्सङ्गीन् मद्गुरो मन्महाधन मन्निस्तारकमद्भाग्यमदानन्दनमस्तुते साधु साधुतादायिन् अतिनीचोचतारक हानमञ्च कदाचिन्माम् प्रेम्णारित्कण्ठयस्फुरा ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Hare Krishna. So, today we are continuing from Canto 3, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, Text Number 18. Yes. त्वचमस्य विनिर्भिन्नाम् विविशोर्धिष्ण्यमोषधिः अंशेनारोमभिः कण्डुम् इयैरौषौ प्रतिपद्यते त्वचमस्य विनिर्भिन्नाम् विविशोर्धिष्ण्यमोषधिः अंशेनारोमभिः कण्डुम् जैरसौ प्रतिपद्यते त्वचमस्य विनिर्भिन्नाम् विविशोधिष्ण्यमोषधिः अंशेनारोमभिः कण्डुम् यैरासौ प्रतिपद्यते प्लीज रिपीट नैरासौ प्रतिपद्यते त्वचमस्य विनिर्भिन्नाम् विवेशोर्धिष्ण्यमौषधिः अंशेनारोमभिः कण्डुम् यैरासौ प्रतिपद्यते त्वचमस्य विनिर्भिन्नम् विविशोधिष्ण्यमौषधिः Mataji's. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Tvacham skin, Asya of the gigantic form, Vinirvhinnam, being separately manifested. Vibhishuhu entered. Dhishnyam, the controlling deity. Oshadhi, sensations. Amshena, with parts, roam through the hairs on the body, condom itching, yahi by which asau the living entity pratipadyate experiences. Translation: when there was a separate manifestation of skin, the controlling deities of sensations and their different parts enter into it, and thus the living entities feel itching and happiness due to touch. Purport: for sense perception, there are two principal items, touch and itching, and both of them are controlled by the skin and hairs on the body. According to Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti, the controlling deity of touch is the air passing within the body, and the controlling deity of the hairs on the body is Oshadhya. For the skin, the object of perception is touch, and for the hairs on the body, the object of perception is itching. So this is also a very important section in Srimad Bhagavatam. We are now discussing in regard to the creation of the universal form. So in between, in the previous chapter, we have discussed about the creation of the ingredients of the material cosmos. So in the first place, the 23 elements were created. And we know, even though they were meant to fulfill the desire of the Lord to complete the creation of the entire cosmos, but initially they remained as the individual entities, and they were not able to amalgamate to complete the creation. Therefore, when they realized that this is a lacking in us, we are meant to fulfill the desire of the Lord in the matter of creating this universe, but we have failed to do so. So then they prayed to the Lord. And then upon hearing their request, then Lord, He enters into all those elements, and then He helped them to amalgamate. And when this process of amalgamation started, what happened? According to our Acharya, they say, ayatanani eva aha. Different ayatanas means different houses. Here ayatana means house, the living place. For the demigods, for the senses, were created. So this is what is being discussed in this section. We started with text number 12, and for next 14 verses until text number 25, the creation of the different houses for the demigods with the senses, where the sense object can be experienced by the living entities, are being thoroughly discussed. So the today's verse is discusses about tachir. Tvachamasya vinirbhinnam vibhishurdhishtam oshadhi amsheno romabhikandum jairasu pratipadyate. Tvachamasya vinirbhinnam. So when the skin became manifest in the universal form of the Lord, then what happened? this tvachi, the skin, that is the, you can say, the house where the demigod, who is the controlling deity of the skin, has to enter. And then, with the help of the controlling deity, the living entity can experience two things. Here it is explained, when we feel itching sensation and touch sensation. Because there are two different perceptions are experienced by the living entities. Therefore, it is explained here that there are two different demigods who are the controlling agent of these two activities. So here in the previous section, we have discussed that these ayatanas are, these houses are created, and it is divided into three categories. One is called Adhibhuta Tattva, Adhidaiva Tattva, and Adhyatma Tattva. What is Adhidaiva Tattva? Adhidaiva Tattva is the controlling deity. For example, through skin, the touch sensation is perceived through the controlling deity of air, that is called Anila. His name is Anila. And so he is the Adhidaiva Tattva. And the Adhyatma Tattva is the sense, the touch sense. Then Adhibhuta Tattva is that which is experienced as a sense perception by the living entity. That is called Adhibhuta Tattva. So here, one thing is the living entities are experiencing touch sensation, and through hair, they are experiencing itching sensation. And here, it is said that before, actually we have discussed about this in the previous verse, that Anila was the presiding deity for the touch sensation. Now again, we are discussing about the touch, the skin. Why? Because there is another part of the skin which is manifesting in the body as hair. And through hair, we experience itching sensation, and the controlling deity for the itching sensation is Aushadhya. Here it is said, Tvachi Tvachamasya Vinirbhinna Vibhishu Dhishnam Aushadhi. That is the external part. Even though the skin, which has got the external side and internal side, like the touch sensation can be felt from both the sides, from outside and from inside. But the itching sensation is an act that is experienced by the living entity externally. That is through the hair. So this is the sum and substance of this verse. So now the question can be asked, sometimes people say, oh, what is the use of studying all the detailed explanation about how the different ingredients were created, how they relate to this universal form of the Lord. Sometimes, there is no rasa in it. We should really go into discussing the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes some people, they see this subject matter like this. But we, the Vaishnavas, we understand why these subject matters are narrated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see, starting with 2nd canto, 3rd canto, even in 4th canto, they speak about the different aspects of this creation. And Prabhupada, he has also very nicely explained that before one comes to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he should very systematically go through the first canto from the beginning. Why? That will give him the qualification how he will be able to appreciate or understand, even enter into releasing the confidential pastimes that are narrated in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is this qualification given here when you go through this section of Srimad Bhagavatam? When you read these explanations about creation subject. The point is, our Vaishnava understanding is not only Krishna when he dances with the gopi, that is his pastime. Of course, that is his pastime. He is grazing the cows with his boyfriends, his cowherd boyfriends in Vrindavan, that is also his pastime. He is playing in the Jamuna water, that is also his pastime. He is playing on his flute, that is his pastime. Similarly, his creation, he is creating this cosmos, is also one of his pastime. When we study about the creation subject, we are very much aware of the opulence of the Absolute Truth. When you know the opulence of the Lord, then your appreciation for that same personality will be enhanced. Then you will be in a better position to appreciate his intimate pastimes with his devotees. On the other hand, when you have not understood how great my Lord is, how can you appreciate that he is having some kind of, you know, affairs with some girls, or he is just playing on a flute like a small child? You know, how can you appreciate that? How can you understand who he is? You cannot appreciate that. So you need to know him in totality, who he is. And when you understand how he is even helping us, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, we discuss about this opulence of the Absolute Truth. And in explaining his opulences in 10th chapter, he says, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutta Praninam Dehamastita. This is one thing I'm just trying to kind of explain here to substantiate the statement what I made, that our appreciation for the Lord is enhanced when we are well aware of his opulence. So he become manifest in Udara as Vaishvanara Agni. Why? Pacham Minman Chaturvidham. He helps us to digest the food that we eat. Any, you know, common man, definitely he can have a kind of, you know, better appreciation about the Supreme Lord when he understands, well, I can go on eating so many different types of foodstuffs. Okay, that is in my control. I have my mouth, I have my hand, I can just, you know, start putting food in my mouth, I start chewing, and then I can, you know, swallow it. But once it enters into your stomach, then you cannot digest it without help of the Lord. He's saying, Aham Vaishvanara Bhutva. As a Vaishvanara Agni, he is helping you to digest your food. Now, the next question is, somebody, he may be eating so many different types of foodstuff, but if food is not getting digested properly, do you think this man can enjoy his life? No way! Prabhu, yesterday there was a nice pizza feast. Come on, today also you can go and have pizza. No, you know, I cannot. He's not willing to come for another pizza. Why? It is not digested. Who is helping you for digestion? Oh, Supreme Lord, he is helping you to enjoy this world, my dear sir. Why don't you appreciate him? Not that he is just giving a set of rules and regulations to be followed by us, and we don't want to follow it because Lord is like a very, very, you know, very difficult person to follow him. Why he is making us our life difficult? No, he is not making our life difficult. Try to understand the tattva. How he is involved in every aspect of our life. Even those who give lot of impetus to understand about the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. They cannot appreciate devotional service. And by that way, even though there is an explanation in Shastra Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas Tattam Jas Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabdyate, the absolute truth can be realized in impersonal future. But we, the Vaishnavas, understand that somebody who is just approaching the Lord, to understand Him in His impersonal future, he will realize only certain chit aspect. Ananda aspect will not be realized by him. He will be totally missing the, you know, Lord. So in that way, in Bhagavad Gita, the Prakrishna says, Klesho adhikatarastesam abhyakta shakta chetasam abhyakta hi gatir dukha dehavad viravapyate. Those who are attached to the unmanifest form, that is the impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth, their advancement is very troublesome. Because being an embodied being, we cannot run through that path and expect to attain self-realization and ultimately realize the personality of Godhead and have a loving relationship with Him. Therefore, we have this information in through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And not only we just read this philosophy, for example, just now we are reading how the senses were created and the controlling deities of the senses, they entered into the sense. And then the object, the sense object is experienced by the living entities. No, here we don't stop here. If we compare this knowledge with the study of Bhagavad Gita and the other part of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we come to the complete understanding. What is that? Okay. For example, Bhagavad Gita says, Tattva Vittu Mahabaho Guna Karma Vibhagayo Guna Gune Suvartanta Iti Matva Anusajjate. This is completely, this is purely on the level of knowledge. A devotee, he has the clear-cut understanding. What is that? Tattvavittu mahava guna karma vibhagaya. So he has a clear understanding about guna and karma. So what is happening? The senses are engaged in sense objects in this world. As long as I have this material body, I need some sort of satisfaction, some bhoga, for this body. And the senses and this the presiding deity of the sense, they're actually helping me to come through those experiences in terms of accepting the objects of the senses. Now, the question comes, okay, why do I need to experience those sense objects? Oh, I want to survive happily. If you ask any common man, why are you taking so many enjoyments? Because, you know, this is the way of life. Why you want to survive? Ask the question. They will say, no, you survive because you want to enjoy. No, that is not the goal. Bhagavatam says, that kamasya na indriya priti. Life's desire should not be directed for sense gratification. No indriya priti. Why do you take? Because I want to survive. Okay. Why you want to survive? Labha jiveta javata jivasya tattva jignyasa. I am accepting this bhoga to survive in this body. I want to survive because I want to attain tattva jignyasa. Self-realization. I want to inquire about the absolute truth. Therefore, here the karmakanda section ends, karma mimamsa ends, athato brahma jigyasa. When we are keen to take interest only in the fruitive activities, enjoying the fruitive results, there will be very least chance for that living entity to get involved in inquiring about the absolute truth. That's athato brahma jigyasa. So this is what Bhagavatam is preparing us simultaneously. He is speaking, he is giving the knowledge, about the opulent manifestation of the Absolute Truth in terms of creating this cosmos, whereby he is giving an opportunity for the living entity for their survival, for their happy life. And when they survive in this world, then they should go for Tattva Jigyasa, for inquiring about the Absolute Truth. So when we understand this subject clearly, then we become satisfied in Krishna consciousness. So I believe we need to conclude this class by 8:30. So it's already 8:25. So therefore, these explanations are appearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam to give us the understanding about the personality feature of the Supreme Lord. That, this anila, this vayu, we cannot see with our material senses. We can just simply perceive it. That is a very subtle object. But it exists. It's a part of the personality of Godhead. There is a difference between we devotee appreciating that object of the Lord and a non-devotee appreciating that object of the Lord. We understand, first of all, Krishna says, Bhumida panalo vayu khangmana buddhirevacha ahankara itiyamyam bhinna prakriti astada. Oh, Krishna has multi-energies. This is one of his energy, vayu. And this energy is helping us to survive in this body. Even Krishna says, this oxygen which we are actually taking, he is actually supplying near our nostril. And he is also in the form of the demigod, helping us to take it in and remain survived in this body. Right? But for a kind of an outside person, he understands, well, you know, air is freely available air. In this country, your government is charging you for water. In India, especially in villages, they don't charge for water. You can have your own borewell. You can drink your water. You can use your water as much as you want. But here I have been to some villages. Even villages also, government is controlling the water. I was thinking, have you created the water? Why are you charging water? It's so freely available. Well, you know, if there is some scarcity, you can, you know, make some plan. I mean to say, unless we understand the opulence of the Absolute Truth, unless we appreciate how Lord have been so kind to create this cosmos for us, an intelligent person will ask question at that time. For example, you know, let us talk about this world experience. If a mother goes to the market, she buys a toy for the baby. Why does she buy the toy for the baby? Because mother is thinking, I want my baby to become happy, playing with the toy, satisfied, so that I can do my household activities nicely. And in that way, she can also appreciate her relationship with her child. Child is happily playing. Right? And child also knows that my mother has given this toy for me. The appreciation towards his mother, the loving exchange between the child and the mother is kind of enhanced because mother has purchased a piece of toy for the baby. Right? Now, hey, the whole creation is given to you and you are taking everything for granted and you are using for your sense gratification. By the way, you may say, okay, these are the things given to us for our enjoyment. It's meant for us. All right. How are you showing your appreciation, love for one who has given to you? you become a thief. I'm not saying, Bhagavad Gita is saying, steno evasa, jo bhunte, steno evasa. One who is enjoying these opulences, who is given to you by the Supreme Lord, without reciprocating with him, without having loving reciprocation, you are a thief. We don't want to become a thief. That's why we have clear understanding about the message of Godhead. We understand his opulence, and we know where we stand, how much to take it, and in reciprocation what we should do. We learn all these things from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? That's why Prabhupada has given us this wonderful temple, wonderful program. Wake up early in the morning, come for Mangalarti, then Guru Puja, Singararti, read from Bhagavatam, go to your work. Of course, you have to chant your rounds. So, I mean to say, this is what our life is all about. And devotees are very composed. They know this is how my life goes on. So fortunate are those who have come in contact with this organization and are also taking interest in understanding the philosophy correctly and trying to apply it in their own life. And by Prabhupada's mercy, we would say one day we'll all find shelter at the lotus feet of Srimad Mahaprabhu. Thank you all very much. You have some question or comment? Maybe we can take some questions here, Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhuji. Made me feel that gratitude for Krishna. I was thinking of the part of the Srimad Bhagavatam where the demigods and demons are churning the ocean of milk and the poison comes out and they're like dying for this poison. And then Krishna appears, I think as Ajita, and he's so kind to even the demons that he wants to take the head of Vasuki where the poison is coming out. But the demons, they refuse. They say, No, we want the head, you know, that's more chivalrous.
Yeah.
So the demigods are the ones who understand and they're grateful to Krishna. Mm. And the demons are like, even though he's merciful to them, they're like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking like that, you know, in the spirit of gratitude for the digestion and the air and, you know, we're dependent on his energy and his mercy. Haribo.
Yeah. We need to experience the merciful protection of the Lord. He said, see this verse, if you read the commentary of the Acharyas, this Bhaktaram Jagyanta Prasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyantamam Santimichati Bhokta. What is the meaning of Bhokta? If you take the direct meaning, this is like an enjoyer, Bhokta. Oh, Krishna is enjoying? Krishna is not enjoying himself. He is actually maintaining everything for us also to enjoy. See, our Lord is so great. You know, he is not a partial entity. He is benefactor, true benefactor of every living entity. He is involved in every single detail of this material creation. He is making everything, you know, move perfectly. A devotee can understand this. Thank you for sharing this nice realization. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Is it possible to understand philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam without teaching to others, just for your own? Srila Prabhupada wanted, you know, so many brahmanas in this moment. Maybe now everybody will be on that level. But for your own, is it enough for your own realization to, to realize? Is it enough for your own realization to realize, to learn Srimad Bhagavatam without teaching to others? Because it's explained, and if you teach to others, you can easy to understand, easy to learn. But without teaching to others, if you're not a teacher, you can still get full benefit by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. Understand my question?
Yeah.
One is, you know, you're not a teacher, you know, Brahmana, they're teaching, you know, they're supposed to teach. Mm. So maybe you're not on that level, or you're not interested in your Vaishya, but you're still going to that, understand Srimad Bhagavatam, plan your life. Yeah. Is there some difference between these two levels?
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Very nice and practical question. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Achar karen keho na karen prachar. Prachar karen keho na karen achar. Achar prachar name karoh dui karya. So, Mahaprabhu is saying, there are some people who just practice, as you said, you know, they release. They don't preach. There are others who preach, don't practice. But no, do both. Okay. So here in this section, your question is, those who are releasing, they are studying, they understand, they assimilate, they practice, but they don't teach others, they don't preach. Is there anything lacking? So here, there comes two people. One is called Goshtyanandi, another one is called Bhajanandi. Bhajanandis are those who kind of hide themselves in a particular place, and they just, you know, release their relationship with the Lord, their service with the Lord. I'm not talking about sahajiyas, not like, you know, pretender Vaishnavas. You know pretender Vaishnavas? Pretender Vaishnava are those who hide themselves in a secluded place, and hidingly they involve in all sorts of anti-devotional activities. So we are not talking about them. But there are a good group of devotees who are actually very advanced in Krishna consciousness, and they feel like, you know, outside world is like a, you know, disturbance for them. And they just stay in their kutir, they read, they do their deity service, they do smarana, and in that way they release their Krishna consciousness. And in that way, at the time of leaving the body, kala, pradurbhut kale, Tadit Saudamini Jatha. Bhagavatam explains that just like simultaneously there is occurrence of the lightning and the thunder, similarly at the time of leaving the body, the Lord is going to reveal the Swarupa to such a person. Okay? They are one group of people, Bhajanandi. And Goshtyanandis are those, they don't want to release the happiness of Krishna consciousness within themselves. And they take the risk of going out and sharing their realizations with others. Not that I just heard something without having realization, we can say, but it will have very less effect. When the person is speaking on the level of his realization, then that becomes more effective type of preaching. And then there is also another aspect as a teacher, as a preacher, we need to know that when we throw ourselves in the, you know, face of the common public, in the association of the worldly people, there is a very high possibility of we getting contaminated by their polluted consciousness, by their polluted desires. For example, an innocent sadhu, he has a very sweet heart, very sweet desire to benefit a person who is a highly conditioned entity. And this highly conditioned entity, without understanding the true nature of the sadhu, how sadhu is a real benefactor and he is here to help, he is trying to pollute that sadhu. Huh? At that time, if we are not very highly grounded in our Krishna consciousness, if our practice is not perfect, we may easily get carried away, we may get easily polluted by the association of non-devotees. So there is a kind of risk there also. But at the same time, Krishna says, those who are engaged in preaching, teaching this message to others, they are the most dear. Nobody is ever dear to me, nor ever will one become in future. So now that is up to the individual to take a choice. And whatever we take, we should not, you know, take it half. We should always try to take it in completeness. And we understand, then we kind of, you know, give an approach. For example, like, you know, preaching is like, you know, you are entering into a river. You do not know how deep it is. Preaching in the material world is like you are entering into a river. You don't know how deep it is, or what kind of, you know, dangerous aquatics are there, where they can swallow you. Where is the rock that may cut your feet? You don't know anything. You are just entering the river. You don't know. Maybe next step there is a sharp rock. It may cut your leg. There might be a crocodile. You don't know. But when you are there, you don't know how to rescue yourself. That's why you have to be very careful. The preaching in this material world is something like that, especially nowadays. Oh, this, you know, the way the materialistic civilization is kind of changing their color and presenting themselves to be like, you know, successful entity. Wow, they are like crocodiles, hidden crocodiles. If you don't know how to handle them, then, you know, you are in a very big danger. Yeah, it's like that actually. Kali Yuga is creating more, you know, trouble, presenting new challenges. Yeah, but those who want, you know, but are favored. Again, one thing we need to understand in this connection, Krishna Shakti Vinana Hai Tar Pravartan. Without being sufficiently blessed by the personality of Godhead, we can't do anything. Otherwise, one may become puffed up, thinking that, oh, I am a good preacher, I can do this preaching, I can do that, and also he is posing himself like that. That's very dangerous. So there are a lot of, you know, other aspects to it. When we want to be a preacher in Krishna consciousness, or even if you want to practice also in seclusion, mind is also with us. For him also there is danger. One who is, you know, throwing himself to the world face, there is also danger. But we need to understand everything. And after making a thorough study of the situation, then we need to be in our shoes what actually we are. If I understand what is my strength, what are my weaknesses, what are the challenges I can handle, I may not be able to handle. And then by understanding his, you know, capacity, he is taking this step that is best. Does it make sense? Okay. Good. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Bhumi rapo nalo vayu khangmana buddhireva cha ahankar iti amme bhinna prakriti me bhinna prakriti ashtada. And elsewhere it is said, because they are my energy. Right? There is another verse. Anyway, so the point is here, these items like in earth, water, fire, ether, they are all mortal. temporary things, right? But when Krishna says, these are my energies, that means they may be temporarily manifested in this temporary world, but they have an eternal existence in the spiritual world. For example, this earth, water, fire, air, everything is also there. And here, whatever is manifested, that is temporary. Why? We understand Krishna being eternal, everything and anything manifest from Him also eternal. Now, as a devotee, when we understand how to make the best use of this temporary thing in the service of the eternity, then that temporary object also helps us to understand our eternal relationship with the Lord. So in that connection, we try to understand or study the temporary manifestation or temporary nature of this material world. If we are not able to connect the Supreme Lord through this temporary world, then we are failed in our life's mission. So what we say, for example, let us take another example. Krishna says, I am the test of water. Non-devotee may say, okay, Krishna is saying test of water. Just drink anything, you feel test. Okay, that is Krishna. No, we don't, just stop there as a devotee. We say, oh, Krishna is so merciful. He has given us this water, and He's so tasteful. It quenches our thirst. Just by Him only, we are able to quench the thirst. He's getting more understanding about the Supreme Lord. Even though He's drinking water, the next moment also again He's feeling thirsty. But devotee is not kind of stopping there. But He's realizing that, oh, Krishna, You are so merciful. You are a person. You are helping me to quench my thirst. It's not just a test. It's impersonal realization. Just test. It's impersonal realization. There's no personality involved there. But when say, no, He is there to help me to quench my thirst, there's a personality behind. There's a difference between personal and impersonal understanding. So like that, we use the temporary objects of this world, which are also manifestation of the eternal personality. Therefore, they are also eternal, but you need to know how to connect these things with Him. Then everything becomes perfect. Thank you, Prabhuji. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapranam ki, Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari.